Take your Bible, stay standing, go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37 this evening. Psalms chapter number 37. We'll be reading several verses in different chapters, so get your fingers ready. Psalms chapter 37. We'll read one verse in this chapter together, verse number 23. Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 23. Ready? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, Psalms 119, verse number 133. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 133. Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And one last verse this evening, Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 9. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the reality of the truth and the promises of God's word. Lord, I appreciate and am so thankful that, Lord, in our life, in our church, in our family, Lord, as we go through this life, we don't just exist as Christians in name only, but every single day we have the option, we have the opportunity, we have the ability to spend time with you. We also have the ability to see you work through our lives and the lives of others. Lord, that's our heart's desire. That's why we're here. And in this evening, service is just the same. Lord, we're not here just to gain information, just to gain knowledge. We have enough of that. But Lord, we're here this evening for you to work in our heart, for you to show us what you can do through us in a mighty way. So please, would you fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power? As we listen, may we be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Speak to us, stir our hearts this evening. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open, and we're going to use them a little bit. If you'll go back to Psalm 37, I'm going to kind of use that as a springboard tonight. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We don't often think about our steps, at least not until something's slippery, something's unsteady, we're in unfamiliar terrain. My wife and I were away for our anniversary, and we were this ginormous miniature golf place. It was great. One of the best ones we've ever been to in our life. And they had this little bridge, you know, one of those slat bridges with the chains on them and stuff. And I let her get halfway out and I just started doing this. Preacher, you didn't do that. Of course I did. And I got the patented answer. My children will know this look quite well. She said, are you done yet? Y'all know what that means? Stop. And unless you track your steps with a pedometer or your phone or one of your silly watches or whatever, you really have no idea how many steps you take. You don't judge what you do generally by how many steps is that going to be. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The average person who walks to the age of 80 will walk an average of 216,262,500 steps. That means this, that's right at 110,000 miles in life. That's five times around the world in your lifetime. Just one step at a time. You don't realize, and by the way, that's just at a moderate walking pace for life. That's at about 7,500 steps a day, calculated. Now, when you're a child, you run far more than that. When you get to be as old as some of you, you walk far less than that. All right? and some just don't walk, and that's fine. But we really don't think much about our steps unless we're hurt or we have difficulty walking. A step seems so insignificant. Unless you're teaching an infant to walk. You remember when your kids started walking? You know, you thought them taking their first step, oh yeah! You know, my dad has a philosophy. You spend the first 2 years teaching them to walk and talk, and the next 16 telling them to sit down and shut up. There's a lot of wisdom in that statement, just so you know. I learned the first part, but I'm not sure about the second, all right? But when you teach a child to walk, those first steps are big. Now, y'all have pity on my mama and daddy. I started walking at 7 months old. I have been running since I was 7 months old, just so you know. My dad would say something else, but I'm not allowed to say that in the pulpit, in public, all right? But I was Hades on feet, amen? Had no fear, didn't matter what I walked off of, went down the steps a few times, didn't care, got up and did it again. That's why I am the way I am, all right? But a step seems so insignificant. As a child takes steps, that's their first real movement towards independence. Now, you say, well, they crawl. Yeah, but you can catch them when they're crawling. When they start walking and get that thing down, it's a little harder to catch them. Look at how big of a deal it is when a child takes their first steps. In just a matter of days or weeks, we don't track their steps anymore. You're just trying to keep track of where they are. A step is not very far. We don't usually judge things by how many steps is it going to be. We often take steps without even thinking about it. I do realize that older people and people with health issues may think about steps more than the average person. But in general, you don't judge things by, well, I wonder how many steps that's going to take me. We just walk. We just go. We know there's a process to get there, and we just take off. God tells us here in Psalm 37:23 that our steps are ordered by the Lord. He tells us in Psalm 119, verse 133, that we get his ordering of steps. If you're there, turn back there real quickly. I want to show you something. Psalm 119, verse number 133, the Bible says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. May I say something? Jesus said something much the same in Matthew chapter 4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our steps for life are ordered in that book right there. The way that we are to walk in life are ordered by God, and they were placed in the words of God. And they are there for us to live and in which to walk. A step is not just a distance of walking. It's also a small portion of a larger process. For instance, if you enjoy mathematics, I don't. I like adding and subtracting and multiplying and dividing, but don't start throwing letters with it. You don't mix English and math. Those are two separate subjects, people. I don't care whether you call it algebra or not, it's not the same. X and Y don't end up with 1, 2, and 3, all right? It just doesn't make sense. But you understand that in a math problem, you have several steps involved. If you're adding or subtracting or multiplying or dividing multiple numbers, and you have to do your first row and then your second row and then your third row, then you have to follow those steps or your answer isn't going to be right. In other words, you break down something that's complex into smaller steps. Steps is like putting something together that you got from the store, and that comes with those directions written in Chinese. That they tried to put it in English, but you can tell that it was a Chinaman that wrote the directions. Wait a minute. If you skip the steps, or you say, oh, I don't need those, and then when everything's backwards and you say, oh, that's not the way it's supposed to look, it's supposed to look like this, wonder what I did wrong, then you go back and read the directions and follow the steps. Now, God has in his word clear steps that he wants us to follow. Those steps are not necessarily our walking or the path in which we walk every day, but he has clear steps that he wants us to follow in life. We don't often think about our steps, but God does. We're supposed to wake up in the morning. There's certain things we're supposed to do every day. We're supposed to we're supposed to do certain things. And God has ordered our steps. Now, listen to this very carefully here. God has a lot to say about steps throughout the Bible. I want to share some things about that. Proverbs 16:9 said that he wants to direct our steps. Just like Brother Josh will direct the choir, direct the congregation in leading. It doesn't mean that he's doing everything himself, but he's guiding everybody what page to be on, what verses we're singing, if we're singing extra parts or this, that, the other thing. He is guiding that, and God wants to guide the steps of our life. Now, let me give you some thoughts about this. It won't take long, but I want you to get it. Number one, steps are a means to a destination. Steps are not a destination. Steps are a means to a destination. But each and every step is not its own destination. If I want to walk from this side of the platform to that side of the platform, when I take my first step, I haven't reached my destination. It's not until I get to where I am going that I have finally arrived at my destination. I didn't count my steps. Somebody did, I'm sure. But may I say something? Each step is not its own destination. Say, preacher, that's obvious. Well, whether it's in walking or a step to a recipe, you know, if you're making biscuits, just because you pulled the buttermilk out doesn't mean you're done with biscuits. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got to get the flour and the salt and the baking soda and the baking powder and the butter in there, and you got to get it all mixed up just right, and then you got to put them into globs and throw them on that pan and put them in the oven and let them puppies rise, and then you got biscuits. Just because you pulled the milk out or the flour out doesn't mean you have biscuits. You've completed a step. But not until you completed all the steps do you get the destination of, we get to eat them things. Now, each step is not a journey. It is a part of a journey. Please listen to this. May I help you be less frustrated in life? May I help you not be so judgmental of people? Too many people focus on each step as though it's a journey itself. And if you don't take each and every step exactly the way you think it should be taken, to the booger man you go. Woke somebody up. Now, can I tell you something? Did you know if I want to walk from that side of the platform to that side of the platform, I could go all the way around the inside of this room and come back here and accomplish my journey? I could go down those steps, come around, come up these steps, and complete the journey. I could walk across all the chairs all the way over and all the way back and come up over here and complete the journey. I could do it 10 or 12 different ways. I could walk down this way and walk out that door all the way around the building inside and come down the aisle and walk up here and accomplish it. Just because I don't do it the way you think I should do it doesn't mean I have not made it to my destination. Before you get critical of somebody else on what steps they take, maybe we ought to wait till the end of the journey. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on. You can slip, trip, fall, and stumble and still make it to your journey. If I start walking and Brother Josh trips me and I hit the floor, unless I stay on the floor, I can get back up and keep walking. Some of you think just because I got tripped and I fell down that I should stop my journey. At least that's how you judge other people in life. Somebody gets saved and they live the Christian life and they stumble, they fall, and you say, stay down, you're no good, you know better than that, and you shouldn't act that way. Okay, but they tripped and fell. Who cares? Haven't you ever fallen? I attempt to play golf from time to time. I'm not a good golfer, but I enjoy it. Brother Josh, you've heard me say this a lot. Scorecard doesn't show how ugly it was. I might get a bogey, and I might have got as lucky as a June bug on the last day of May. Most of the time, that's what it is. I've hit shots before, hit a tree. Watch that thing come back out into the fairway. Perfect. I hit one over here at Locust Hill one day. I hit that ball. Josh is still shaking his head. I hit a wooden bridge. Pow! That thing ricocheted. Landed 15 feet from the cup on the green. It was great. God was moving. Amen. He's standing back there saying, that ain't right. That just ain't right. Oh, wait a minute. And my favorite statement is, scorecard doesn't show how ugly it was. You might shoot a deer. Amen, Brother Aaron? Nobody's going to ask you, when they're eating that deer meat, where you shot that deer or how bad it was or how good of a shot it was. It's in the freezer. It was a good enough shot.
There you go.
I'm not sure I've ever said this story. First bow deer I ever shot, Brother Mike, was in Rensselaer, Indiana. Deer walked out. Man, I was shaking. I had never shot at a deer with a bow in my life. I guessed it to be about 30 yards. It was probably 50 yards. Didn't know it. Didn't have a rangefinder. Old bow. Let go of that thing, and I watched that arrow go right underneath that deer, and it hit a rock. And it bounced off that rock and went right back up into that deer. And stuck it. I let that deer die. I walked up to it and said, God must have wanted you dead. I ain't telling nobody how that happened. Because nobody would believe that. He might, but nobody was there. I promise you, I watched that arrow, Brother Steve, bounce off of a rock and hit that deer. It's the first one I ever killed with a bow. I finally came clean 20-some years later. Amen? Now, wait a minute. The scorecard didn't show how ugly it was, but it sure did eat good. Some of you would say, well, that's just not right. You should have tried that one over again. It was dead. No do-overs, amen? It doesn't get back up. You don't pick it up and prop it up and shoot it again. And yet you let a Christian slip or stumble, and you're ready to throw them back to the booger man. You're willing to say they shouldn't come to church because they don't have the right attitude. Well, who made you God? God would rather people get to the destination then focus on each and every step to the point of not doing anything. And never accomplish anything in a journey. There are some people so afraid that they're going to take the wrong step that they don't do anything. Standing still doesn't accomplish anything, folks.
Amen.
I crawled out of bed at 4:15 this morning. I didn't necessarily feel like it, but when my eyeballs opened up and I realized that I was still alive, it was dark, so I knew I wasn't in heaven. I finally took a breath and said, okay, it's Sunday. It's time to get up. I get to go to church. I get to preach today. We get to have church. We get to be with God's people today. Man, I started getting motivated real quick. Now, wait a minute. If I'd have said, well, I'm tired. Well, you get out of bed at 4:15, you're going to be tired too. But guess what? I'm not tired right now. You see, so many people focus on the steps that they take so much that they don't do anything. Did you ever watch somebody afraid of heights and they're climbing up somewhere? It's hilarious. That's the way some people walk through life. They're so afraid of the next step that they don't go anywhere. Turn your Bible to Psalm 23. You're at Psalm 37. Go back to Psalm 23. Let me teach you something here. Many of you have heard me say something like this, but it will bring more light to this. Often at a funeral, Psalm 23 is read. By the way, it wasn't written for funerals, but we use it. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I... What's the next word? Okay, everybody look at me for a second. Can you walk without moving? It doesn't say, yea, though I stand. It says, yea, though I walk. It doesn't say, yea, though I lay down and cry. In other words, it involves continual steps. Walking is one step after another, correct? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall, what's the next word?
Follow me
all the days of my life. Can I tell you something? Goodness and mercy cannot follow you if you don't keep walking through the valley.
Amen.
You can't follow something that's not moving. Goodness and mercy cannot follow if you're not walking. In other words, there are times you say, I don't know what to do, preacher. Keep on walking. But my heart's broken. Keep on walking. But this person has really destroyed my heart and my spirit. Keep on walking. I lost someone I love to death. Keep on walking. And as you keep on walking, goodness and mercy will follow you. It doesn't say that the heartache goes away. It doesn't say that your loved one will come back to life. But if they're saved, they're in heaven, and they're doing better than you are. Don't worry.
Amen.
A year and a half ago when my mom died, and we had 4 funerals in 1 week, and we had church and everything else, and I kept going, I kept preaching, kept doing all the funerals, kept helping, kept counseling. You say, how'd you do that? I kept walking. There were days I said, God, I'll pick my feet up. You put them down, and I've got to keep on going. You see, you may trip and fall along the way. Get up and keep walking. You may stumble along the path, but get up and keep on walking. Goodness and mercy cannot follow unless you keep on walking with your steps in life. God never promised everything would turn out right. We're all sinners. We're spinning on this rock with a bunch of other sinners. Some are saved sinners, some are lost sinners, but we're still all sinners. So not everything in life is going to go good. God never promised everything in your life was going to be good. We blew that by being sinners. But God says, keep on walking. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He directeth our way. So when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, keep on walking. Say, but I hurt, preacher. Walk while you hurt. But my heart is grieving, preacher. Walk while your heart grieves, but keep on walking. But this person disappointed me. Then keep on walking. I have enemies who are attacking. Keep on walking. Too many times we sit down, suck our thumb, and cry like Jonah did after he preached the greatest revival in world history. Throwing a pity party in Juniper Jungle like Elijah did. Everybody doing all right? Jezebel's after me. I'm just going to die. God, just take me home. You just killed 450 false prophets the day before. You've run over 70 miles in 2 days. And you want to cry about wicked King Jezebel or Queen Jezebel? What did God tell him to do? Eat, drink, rest, and keep on going. So, steps are not a destination. Each step is not its own destination. It's just a step in the process to a destination. Number two, steps follow in order. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We saw that in God's word, he directeth our steps. Listen to this statement. I could save you young people a lot of grief in life. Listen to an old, wretched man for a moment, please. Shut up, you twit. Doing things out of order may terminate your destination prematurely. Doing things out of order may cause you to never reach your destination. God's order is this: dating, engagement, marriage, the physical life, then children. Doing anything outside that order may cause you to terminate a happy destination. Just trust me on this. God's order is dating, engagement, marriage, then the physical, then children. When you get that out of order, you have problems, and generally the destinations aren't as good. Generally. I didn't say it's impossible, but I will say this: even those that make it have trust issues. Counseled the tens of thousands of marriages I've counseled, you'll find out I'm right. God says you're supposed to go to grade school, then high school, then college. You don't put a five-year-old starting their bachelor's degree. You've got to do things in order. Now, by the time they hit high school, they think they understand everything about life. When they graduate from high school, they know they understand everything about life. And in a few short years, they find out they didn't know anything. I remember sitting in Brother Heil's office for my senior appointment after getting ready to graduate for college. I put 3.5 years of college in. He said, "Greg, what's the greatest lesson you've learned while at college?" I said, "That's easy." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What'd you learn?" I said, "I think the greatest lesson I've learned is I don't know anything yet. And I got a lot more to learn than I thought I knew." He began to laugh. He got up from his chair. He walked over, sat on the couch right next to me, put his arm around me and said, "Son, if you'll keep that attitude, you'll go far in life." I didn't realize how wise that statement was. I'm 55 years old and still know I got a lot more to learn. Now, I've figured some things out. Are you done yet? But I still have a long way to go. It's true in the spiritual life. God's order, God's divine order, is salvation, baptism, church membership, separation from the world. Anytime you get that out of order, if you say, well, I believe in being baptized, then I can get saved. Wrong order, and your destination won't be right. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. God's divine order is salvation, baptism, church membership, separation from the world. Too many people want to be separated from the world before they get saved. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to get saved, baptized, join the church, and then you learn and have the wherewithal to get the separation from the world. And usually, by the time you go through that process, people in the world are separating from you, and you don't have to worry about it. You really don't. If you're living like a Christian, you don't have to separate from them. They'll scatter from you. So, God's divine order is salvation, baptism, church membership, separation. Everybody got that? God's order is dating, engagement, marriage, physical relationship, children. God's divine order is grade school, high school, college. Watch this. God's divine order of growth is this: an infant, child, teen, death. No, teen, adult, senior citizen. A five-year-old should not act like a senior citizen. An infant should not be expected to know what an adult knows. By the way, a teenager shouldn't be expected to know what an adult knows. They think they do. Something happens when they turn about 11 or 12, their brain falls out their ear. All right, by the time they hit 12, the brain goes out and they get a little ditzy for a while. Get kind of clumsy, and there's only one difference between 3 and 13, 10 years. They walk the same, they talk the same, they act the same. They cry for no reason, they just have all these things, and it's just all mixed up. It's okay, it's normal. In a year or so, they come out of it, and then they stabilize a little bit, and then they kind of start figuring life out a little bit better. Don't worry about it. It happens. You think, well, I just spent 12, 13 years teaching this kid. Didn't they learn anything? It fell out their ear one night. Don't worry. It happens. But God's order is an infant, a child, a teen, an adult, a senior citizen. What happens if a child never grows from the infant stage? Something's not right. They have problems. We would call it special needs. It doesn't mean they're not a person. Matter of fact, most of them are more normal than normal people. They might need a little extra help, but something's just not quite there, and some of their destinations in life won't be what the average child's destination will be. But it doesn't mean that we ought to kick them aside and get rid of them. They have an important place. So, God realizes we may stumble in or while stepping, but he wants us to follow the order. Is that not what 1 Corinthians 14:40 is about? Let all things be done decently and in order. Oh, that means our life should be decent and in order, not fly by the seat of our britches. Brother Ernest, my preacher taught me if you fly by the seat of your britches, eventually something hangs out. You skid there long enough, something's not going to be showing that you want showing. Psalm 119 verse 133 says this. Hang on here, I got it right here. Order my steps in thy word and let not iniquity have dominion over me. When we get out of order, iniquity is sin. And when we get out of order, by the way, sin is often good done at the wrong time. There's nothing wrong with the physical relationship between a man and a woman as long as it's within the bounds of marriage. Amen. Do it out of order, and God says it's an abomination and it's wrong. When I was in Bible college, Brother Hiles used to say, fellas, if you don't want to hug your girlfriend, we're going to expel you from school. If you do hug her, we're going to expel you from school too. You ought to want to, but we're going to stop you from doing it. Say why? Don't get it out of order. Everybody doing all right? See, when you get it out of order, often sin is good done at the wrong time. Nothing wrong with being baptized. But if you make baptism a part of salvation, you've done good out of order, and it's now sinful. Separation from the world is not bad, but if you make it in order to get salvation, you have it out of order, and it's wrong, and it's sinful. Boy, that's good stuff. We need to keep going to keep the order and the pathway straight. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 very quickly. I'm going to shut this down in just a minute here. Don't worry. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Wow. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. God's talking about wisdom here. God says if you have wisdom, you'll be able to keep your steps going. You'll be able to straighten the path, and you'll be able to keep going on that path no matter how many times you fall. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. It didn't say a just man never falls. The Bible says a just man falls seven times, and he riseth up again. Don't stop to inspect every step. Get up and keep walking. I've got to hurry. Let me give you one last point here very quickly. Number three, as we grow, our steps need to grow. As we grow, our steps need to grow. Turn back to Psalm 18 for a moment. Psalm 18. I'm going to mention one other verse in a moment here. Psalm 18, look at verse number 36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Oh, I love this. I grew up in Ohio in snow country. We were at the edge of what they called lake effect snow. If the winds blew hard enough, we got dumped on. Dad, you remember back in 76, 77, and 77, 78, those blizzards we had? We got 36 inches of snow in about 12 hours. And then we got hammered again with about another 24 inches a couple days later. We had like 5 feet of snow on the ground without drifts. It was so bad when we shoveled the driveway, Brother Steve. It was piled so high at the end of the driveway from where the snow plows went through. My brother got on top of the pile. I got halfway up, and Dad was on the ground putting snow in my shovel. I put it in my brother's, and he ran it down the pile and put it out there. We had no place to put it. It was great. But it was so bad. I was so short and so small, I couldn't walk. And my dad, he had to break the snow. He said, just follow my footsteps. He enlarged my steps so that my feet could go through the path. Whew. That's exactly what God's talking about. If I were 55 years old and I walked like an infant walks, something would be wrong. Tim Conway, amen. Sorry, TV days gone. All right, now wait a minute. There comes a point in time where a child needs to learn to step a little farther, and as their legs grow, they step a little farther. But there's times when if I'm in work mode, nobody keeps up with me. If I'm in produce mode, look out. I'm plowing through. But when I'm with my wife, Brother Mike, I got to slow down. My wife's 8 inches shorter than me. I think her legs are about a foot and a half shorter than mine. And she doesn't walk like I walk. If I'm going from point A to point B, let's go from point A to point B. Amen? Let's just step right there and get going. Now, if I did that, my wife's still on first step. I've learned to slow down so that she can keep up. Every once in a while, I'll feel that little pull on my arm. I'll say, am I going too fast? Mm-hmm. Say, why is that? Because I'm in produce mode. Plow through it all. I don't say, come on, woman, step it up. Let's go. No. It's time for me to slow down and walk at her pace. People, as they grow, need to quit taking baby steps. As you grow in the Christian life, not everything's a baby step. Every once in a while, it's going to hurt a little bit. Let me read another verse to you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Don't take time to turn there. I'll be there before you will. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21 says this. For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We're to follow in his steps. Can tell you something, sometimes the snow's pretty deep and I don't think I can get through it, but I got to realize Jesus already plowed through it for me. Some steps need to be taken by faith. Romans chapter 4, verse number 12. We walk by faith and not by sight. Did you ever walk somewhere and didn't know where you're going and hope that there was something underneath you when you got to the next step? Fellas, did you ever climb a tree and hope that that limb was going to be able to hold you? Or come down and hoping that the ones that you climbed up on weren't as rotten as you thought they were. Because it's going to be an exciting ride to the bottom. Amen. Much of life is based on walking by obedience, not by walking what you can see. There are many times in life you have to take steps that you're not quite sure what's coming next. There is nothing as exhilarating as walking through the woods at about 5 in the morning and it's dark. And all of a sudden you take a step and something moves. Let me tell you something. Your heart will start racing. I don't care who you are. I was out shooting groundhogs the other day. I was walking through the farm. And the grass is about not quite as high as the pulpit, the first level of the pulpit here. But Mike, I was walking, the wind's blowing in my face. I was just enjoying life. I got probably from here to the piano from the gate to go into the next field that was cut barley. And about from here to where Brother Barnes is, I'm just minding my own business. I'm looking for little brown fuzzy groundhogs. All of a sudden I heard, and it jumped up and leaped out in front of me and ran over the fence. And I'm not sure who was more scared, that deer or me. I went, whoa, okay. I didn't see it laying there. It didn't hear or see or smell me until I was right up on it. But as soon as you hear that thing go, you know exactly what it was. Hang on. There are times being weary and being fearful. I ask God to help me pick up my feet and keep me moving. Psalm 44:18 is a verse I use a lot. Let me read it to you. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. God, I'm tired. God, I'm weary. But I'm not going to decline my steps. I'm not going to stop stepping. I got to keep my steps going. I might not be able to see where the next one's going, but I'm going to keep putting them down as long as you keep putting ground there. Isaiah 26:6 talks about our steps when we're weary. We need to watch our steps for sure. But may I say something? Don't watch your steps to the point where you quit stepping. Each step is not its own destination. Do you know most of you would have never chosen any of the disciples to be your pastor? You know, every one of those rascals quit the ministry. Peter cursed and swore. I mean, he even said Southern Baptist. I mean, he denied the Lord. And 50 days later, he was preaching Pentecost. Some of you wouldn't have wanted him as a pastor. One point in time, he saw Jesus walking on the water and he thought it was a ghost. Hello? Maybe we ought to look back at this. They didn't all step make every step count exactly right. But guess what? They got to the destination. They tripped and fell along the way, but they got back up and they kept on walking. Maybe we need to keep walking. Maybe when somebody stumbles, instead of criticizing them, we reach down, pick them up, and dust them off and say, let's keep on going together. Let's not judge every step. Let's just make sure everybody keeps on stepping. Let's not criticize that they're not stepping where we are because we've been on this journey a long time and they're just starting. We're all entering at a different place. Quit judging them by where you are in your steps. God's interested in our steps. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder, do you know for sure you're saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ? That's the first step of being spiritual. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not how good of a person you are. Those things come after you get saved. I wonder, have you been focusing on your individual steps so much that you're not continuing the journey? You'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there one that say, preacher, if I die tonight, I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. In a moment, we'll stand. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Well, my soul, scores and scores of hands. Thank you. You may put them down.